Lord, I've heard so many praises this week of how you've helped people through some difficult situations clear across this nation, whether it had been through healing through surgeries or safety and traveling, Lord, and it's just blessed my heart to hear how people see you in the storm and they seek you, Lord, but they don't only seek you in the storm, they praise you when it calms down again. And I thank you. I thank you for your hand of protection last night over this community. As I know, sirens went off and things were spotted, but Lord, you reign supreme and you protect us, your people. Lord, I just ask a special blessing today on Pastor Fred and Terry. Lord, is there a way for the weekend? Just let this be a weekend of rest, opportunity, and recharging for their spirits, Lord. I pray an anointing hand on Pastor Jay as he brings your word that you've laid on his heart. Lord, let it move us in a new direction closer to you, a direction of just giving our lives wholly committed to you, to serve, to give, to whatever you have for us, Lord, in our individual ways. Lord, as we worship through the giving of tithes and offerings, as each week, we just pray that you'll bless the giver and the gift. Bless the giver, Lord, for their faithfulness and obedience. Bless the gift, Lord, as it's given through a sacrificial heart, so that that gift can be used to reach others for Christ. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your holy and wondrous name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ushers.
Earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your hands, you heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory.
He is the King of glory. Amen? Yeah. Well, thank you for reading that passage. That's from Psalm 24. And this morning we're going to talk about worship. And that's that passage is talking about. And in the Old Testament, you cannot help but see the importance of worship in the lives of God's people. Abraham worshiped. 22:5 says, he said to his servant, stay with the donkey, why I and the boy go over there. We worship, and then we will come back to you. Moses worshiped. Exodus 34:8. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Jacob worshiped. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Joshua worshiped. Joshua 5:14. But at the end of the army of the Lord, I now have come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? David worshiped. 2 Samuel 12:20. Then David got up from the ground, and after he'd washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. And obviously, these are just a handful of passages from the Testament that talk about worship. Also in the New Testament, Worship is just as important. The second worship the Lord, 28:9. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Then they came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. They bowed at his feet and worshiped him. Each time in the Bible that it gives us a glimpse into heaven, it shows us that there's worship going on. Revelation 4:10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Worship is what we were created to do. We are here to give worship to the Lord our God. Worship is important. I think probably everyone here would agree with that. We're here on a Sunday morning. We've gathered to worship. Worship is very important. Yeah, there was a time told in the New Testament when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and the not just his disciples, but his followers and the crowds, they saw the miracles that he had performed. They saw his teaching. They saw the love and compassion in which he treated us. And they worshiped him. They were crying out. He's entering Jerusalem. They're shouting out to him, shouting out praises. The Pharisees didn't like it very much. But to Jesus, he said, you need to tell your followers to pipe it down. You know, they're being a little obnoxious. They're being a little too loud. They need to stop it. And Jesus, in Luke 19:40, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Worship is important. Christians' task is to give glory to God, to exalt him by giving him worship. We're called and created to worship. And that's why we've gathered here this morning, every Sunday. We gather to worship him because he is worthy. And what is worship? Worship can take forms. Oftentimes when we think of worship, go ahead, you can say it out loud, you can speak.
Singing,
yes, absolutely. That's what we often think about, and that's certainly a form of worship. But so is the preaching. So is giving. So is prayer. So is the love that we show one another in the hallway, in the conversations. Those are all forms of worship. This is what God wants us to do. We worship him both personally and corporately. God has created us to worship him. Worship God for who he is, not just done, that's part of it as well, but we worship him for who he is, for he is holy. But we also worship him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. We have faith God will continue to move, that he is who he says he is. He is in control. And so we worship him for all those things. So how do we worship? Like I said, through singing, through the prayer, through giving, through our relationships. Those are all ways that we worship. We express our worship of God by the things we sing. But even more important, we worship God by the way we live. I mean, you think about it. Someone that comes to church on Sunday morning, they raise their hand, they're singing, and they're singing out loud, they're doing all the, but then they go and they live their life during the week any way but following God. You know, we don't have, call that hypocrisy. We call them a hypocrite. That's not what we want. We want to praise God. We want to sing. We want to lift our voice up. We want to testify to what God's doing. Those are all great forms of worship. But we also need to live it out in our lives. Actions. You know, we've heard that from the time we were small kids. Our actions speak louder than our words. So we worship God through the way we live. And again, I would imagine this. We're all here at a gathering on a Sunday morning. I would say we probably all agree that worship is important. But I want to ask you this morning. Here's really about this morning. Is worship important to you? How important is it? It's one thing to say the GCA. You all know what a GCA is, right? Someone say it. What is it? The good Christian answer. I think I've made the story before, but the pastor gathered kids around the altar. He's like, on the fifth Sunday, he'd always tell a little children's sermon. And so he had the children come. And he's trying to tell a story about a squirrel. And so he's describing it. You know, the little animal that runs around you. It's got a bushy tail, and it runs up the tree, and, you know, likes to gather nuts. And he's going on and asks the kids, you know what I'm talking about? And all the kids are sitting there quiet, not raising a hand, not offering. And he's like, what? And he continues, and he tries to describe the squirrel. And finally, one brave little boy says, well, Pastor, I know the right answer is Jesus, but that sounds an awful squirrel to me. You know? That's It's a good Christian answer, right? Jesus is the answer, and he is, but I'm not talking about just a good Christian answer. Yeah, worship's important. I mean, but is it? How important is it? It's one thing to say it with your lips, but it's another to practice it. Again, actions louder than words. Again, I don't ask that question to shame anybody or make you feel bad, but I really want you to just be honest with yourself and with God this morning. How important is worship to you? Because here's the test. This is the test question. If worship is important, then what did you do this week to prepare for worship this morning? You see, that's really what decides whether or not important worship for us. If we just show up on Sunday morning and say, okay, God, show up, bless me, that's not what worship's about. God wants us to come prepared to worship. I want you to understand that worship should be long before we enter this space. This is a holy space. This is a great space. But our worship should begin before we even enter the sanctuary. I think so many Christians make that mistake that they think, well, worship starts at 10:30 on Sunday morning or whatever time their church happens to be. And I think that's sometimes why our worship experiences, if we be honest, they fall short of all what we want and what God wants for us. But in truth, it's because we come unprepared. Bobby Knight, famous basketball coach at the University of Indiana, is credited with this. And I'm not a big fan of Bobby Knight himself, but I love this saying. The will to win is not as important as the will to prepare to win. How many of you guys have ever heard that before? Not many, a few? All right. The will to win is not as important as the will to prepare to win. He's not saying the will to win is not important. Because in a game, you want players who are in the contest to give everything they've got. You want players who leave it all on the court or the floor, the field, whatever. You know, that's what you want. You want a player who doesn't give up easy, who gives it everything they got. And that's great. You want players like that. But what Bobby Knight was saying was what's even more important is you play practice like that. Because the who in the game gives it everything they got, they're going to give this much. And that may have. But if you practice that way, if you give it, if you're pushing yourself from practice, trying to become better, then what you, the most you have to give goes up that much higher. Does that make sense? You have more to offer. Yeah, the will to win is important. And any coach wants the player that has the will to win. But the will to prepare to win is much more important. And that's true in worship as well. So why is preparing for worship so important? First, it helps us worship, right? It really helps us worship. Silence all the distractions, and it helps us focus on the object of our worship, which is God, our Savior, our Heavenly Father. How many of you, this has been my experience, how many of you have ever had this experience? We're in church Sunday morning, we're standing, we're singing, we're probably two, three songs into the service, and you realize, I haven't worked yet. I'm singing, coming, but my mind is thinking about the fight I had with my spouse this morning, or what's going on at work, or anything other than God. Those are distractions. Have you ever been there? I have. And so preparing during the week, we will take the time to prepare for worship. It helps lay those things. I'm not saying you will never be distracted. I'm not saying that all those things will go away and they'll never have a distraction. That's not what I'm saying at all. But God will help you lay those things aside and focus on Him. And one of the beautiful things about the God we serve, when we come and we worship Him, we take the time, if we intentionally lay those things aside, now those will be very important things. We will lay them aside, spend time with God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will help take those situations, those burdens that we're carrying, whatever they may be, and it will help prioritize them. It'll help put them in perspective. You know, have you ever been up late at night where you maybe wake up in the night and you're praying for a situation? Or maybe you're just going through the day and that this situation, this burden is on your mind. But as soon as you stop focusing on the problem or the situation, and again, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it doesn't deter your attention. But we need to lay it aside, and we need to go to God. We need to take it to God. and we need to spend some time worshiping. And when we do that, you come back to the problem, and then, oh, okay, God's got this. We're reminded that God is in control. It doesn't mean the situation goes away. I wish that would mean that. I wish, you know, all we have to do is spend time in worship and all of our problems in life would go away. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not reality. But what God does, when we go to him and we focus on him, we have something pressing, very important in our mind. But if we will lay it aside and we will focus on worshiping him, he just puts it in perspective. He reminds us that he's in control. He reminds us that he will handle it. And it helps us to handle it better as well. By preparing for worship, it helps us have a better worship experience on Sunday morning when we come together. It's like a car. You know, we live in the Midwest, cold here in the winter. We have a two-car garage. I park on one side. Roxanne parks on the other. That poor Austin, his car's out on the street. So in the wintertime, he has to go out and warm his car. It's only a two-mile drive, but he usually wears shorts and a T-shirt, even in the dead of winter. So, you know, riding his car. So he'll go out and start his car, let it warm up for 10 or 15 minutes, right? We've all done this, and get it warmed up, right? Because other time he got in and drove to school, it would just be time, right? It's the same with worship. If we don't take the time to prepare during the week, by the time we sing and we're giving the offering, we're just getting warmed up. Our mind is just clearing of all the distractions. But if we will take time to warm up our mind and our spirit to worship, it will enhance our worship experience so much more. And the truth is, sometimes if we don't take the time to do that, we never get to that place. And we leave the service and we think, oh man, that wasn't a very good service today. The worship team was off. The pastor stunk. That's probably what you'll say today at lunch, right? The pastor stunk. Mindy's nodding her head. I haven't picked on you once, Mindy. Not yet. No. But we leave and we say, oh, man, the pastor was stunk. The worship team was off. The greeters, you know, they were bad. The temperature was too hot. And we talk about all these things. But in reality, we didn't take the time to prepare. And so we can blame it on everything else. But the truth is, we have to take personal responsibility to arrive prepared and ready to worship God. That means we need to be intentional about developing an intimate relationship with our Father. It's God's desire to be close to his children. He wants that for us. It's his desire to be worshiped by us personally and by us corporately. And here's the truth. No one's going to improve your worship other than you. I don't care who's leading worship. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care if you're in a small setting, large setting. Worship really does depend a lot on you. Preparing for worship not only helps us get in the right mind frame and experience a deeper level of worship, but also enhances our corporate worship. Think about that for a minute. Back to the basketball team, right? If you have one player has the will to win, great. But if you have five players on the basketball court who have the will to prepare to win, that's going to be a whole lot better, isn't it? The result's going to be better. If you have a sanctuary full of people who spent time preparing for worship, our worship is going to be that much better. You know, 3-4, that's great. But a whole sanctuary full, that's going to be even better. So we have that responsibility to one another. We are a family, right? We're the family of God. God calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so we need to prepare for worship, not just for us and what we get out of it, but for God. Because again, worship isn't about what we receive. Worship is about what we offer. God is our audience, not us. We need to take the time for ourselves and for one another, our family, to be prepared for worship. All you parents understand this. When you become a parent, it is no longer about you, right? Especially moms, right? Life is no longer about you. What you want, it's all about, it becomes about the kids, right? You know, forget about sleep, right? You know, a year and a half ago, Austin broke his leg playing football. And man, I'm telling you, it's the worst sound in the world for a parent is to hear their kids suffering. And he would stop, you know, sometimes late in the middle of the night, just in pain. And so Roxanne and I, we worked it out. We worked out well for us. She'd get up at 1 and give him his pain meds. I'd get up at 4 and give him his pain meds. We had to stay on top of it. You know, did we do that? Because, hey, what else are you going to do at 1 o'clock in the morning? And what are you going to do at 4 o'clock in the morning? No, we did that because that was best for our child. We wanted to help him. And that's what parents do. That's what families do. We watch out for one another. Well, you know, this has been a few years ago, but we were going to go as a Friday night. We're going to go to a movie. And so I printed out a list of movies, or wrote down a list of movies that would be okay for us to go see as a family. And I had really my heart set on one. And I thought, oh, this would be a really good one. Let's go see this and everything. And so I presented it to my children and my wife. All betrayed me. They didn't take my suggestion. Now, I put the mistake of putting this other movie on there, and they all chose that one. And I'm thinking, really? And that movie was Frozen, right? Oh, not only a musical, but an animated musical. Let It Go. You know, I hated that movie. And I knew I'd hate that movie. Why even put it on the list? I don't know. They probably knew about it anyway. But I went. Why? Because I love my family. I've spoken to them. No, just kidding. I hate that movie. But you do that. You do that for your family, right? You do what's not just for you. You lay that aside. You do what's best for your family. As the family of God, we need to do that. We need to prepare for worship because it's not only for us, but it's good for us as a body, corporately. Worship is both personal and corporate. There's something unique when you're in the presence of a group of people who have taken that responsibility seriously and they prepared through the week to worship together. Our scripture passage this morning that Brandon read was written not long after David had captured Jerusalem. It was David's desire to build a religious and political center for his kingdom in Jerusalem. It was his desire to build a permanent place of worship for God. So he brings the Ark of Covenant to Jerusalem, and he sets it up on Mount Zion, and he asks, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord to worship? Who can meet with God? Who can come before him and worship? In other words, what makes us worthy and ready to approach God to worship him? He was asking the people, are you prepared for worship? Are you prepared to worship him? And the scriptures make it clear that to come before God, we need to be prepared. And again, I ask, what did you do this week to prepare for worship this morning? That's not written to shame anybody. It's not written asked in judgment. We all have busy lives. We all get distracted at times by things. But let's not settle for that. Let's strive with God's help to prepare for worship and be serious about that. Again, this is a question for you and for you alone. Don't answer the person sitting next to you. Don't answer your parents. But what is it that you did this week to prepare for worship? So how do you prepare for worship? It'd be wrong to say, well, you need to prepare for worship but not offer anything. How? Any ways to prepare for worship? So I have some. These are nothing earth-shattering. Just maybe reminders. It's not rigid. But it'll help us, just spur us on to ideas how we can prepare in a practical way for worship. Number one, reflect on what God is doing in your life. Take time during the week to remember, to reflect on how God has blessed you, how he's worked, how he's guided, how he's answered prayer. Do you ever do this? Do you ever pray for something? I mean, fervently pray for something, and then God answers the prayer, and it's like a month later, we're like, oh, yeah, God answered that prayer. I forgot. We do that. Again, we get... So take time during the week to remember, to reflect upon your prayer request, what God is doing. And this may sound a little weird, but even reflect on how he's corrected you. Because a father who loves his children disciplines us. He corrects us. This happened to me just recently. I made up my mind to do one thing. And it was nothing sinful, nothing bad. It was just, I was just going to do this. I just had it in my mind. I was going to do this. And then God... on the shoulder, the Holy Spirit just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, no, I want you to do this instead. And I'm like, but God, this is okay. There's nothing wrong with this. This isn't sin. This isn't a bad decision. You know, I'm going to do this, God. And God says, well, there's nothing wrong with that except for I want you to do this. And so you need to do this. So some of this internal wrangling went on for a little bit. I wanted to do this. It wasn't a bad thing. But God, no, I want you to do this. And so eventually, I conceived and I did what God wanted to do. And let me tell you something, it worked out so much better. And afterwards, I was like, thank you, God. Thank you for not letting me use the lesser. You know, it wasn't that it was bad. it just wasn't all that God wanted. It wasn't the best. And God provided the best. So I think about that and I rejoice and I say, thank you, God, for having my best interest at heart, wanting what's best for me. And as we reflect on that, it helps us to worship. Number two, reflect on the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. You know, oftentimes we do that during communion, right? We have that time of quiet. I love that. But we don't have to wait for communion. Take time during the week to think about the beating that Christ took and the sacrifice he made. Rejection, you know, it wasn't just a physical beating. I mean, his disciples scattered like cockroaches. They were gone. He felt rejected. He felt abandoned. Christ did that for us. Reflect on that. And it really does have a tremendous impact on how we prepare to worship. Number three, recall the character of God. Think about his, you know, we sing that song, Good, Good Father. It's one of my favorite songs. Because he really is the good, good Father. He really does want what's best for us. Meditating on God's character gives us deeper insights into his divine nature. It helps us. Listen to what this J.M. Farrow writes. She said, when my husband Joe had a heart attack last year, meditating on God's goodness gave me great comfort. As I sat in the hospital waiting room, awaiting any news of my husband's condition, I reminded myself of the verse which says, this is from Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And over, she continues, I said to myself, the Lord is good. Situation certainly wasn't good, but God was. I wasn't focusing on my situation. I was focusing on God. I could have easily fixed my mind and heart on the disturbing sights and sounds that surrounded me, but instead I chose to go deeper and to remind myself of this truth, that God is a good God. Because he's a good God, he has promised to work all things together for my good. So focusing on the character of God can help prepare us for worship. Four is pray. Now, that seems like a no-brainer, right? The Bible says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded to pray. Pray, you'll find that peace of mind. Pray, you'll find that peace in the midst of the storm. And when that happens, when you see God moving and working, that will enhance your worship because you'll be thinking about that during the week. And Sunday morning, you'll be really worshiping him, thanking him, giving him praise. Another obvious one, number five, read God's word. If you continue in my word, then you really are my disciples, Jesus said. God's word is our manual for the Christian life. It reveals God's character, reveals who he is. It reveals what we are to him. By spending time in God's word, it really does help us to prepare for worship. Number six, worship and praise. Right? We think again, Sunday morning, we think praising. We think of worship as singing songs and stuff. And that certainly is true, and that's a great way to worship. It's one of my favorite ways to worship. But we don't have to wait till Sunday morning to praise and to sing. Now, you might want to do it in the shower. You might want to do it when you're alone in the car. My family has requested I don't do it in their presence. That's not because they don't want to worship. It's because, well, my voice may be a distraction to worship. But I used to do this all the time. When we lived in Kansas City, I had about a 35-minute drive from work to home, from work to home at night. I'd go to school in the morning, then I'd go to work, and then I'd come home, and it was about a 35-mile drive. And oftentimes, that became my time of worship. I'd put a CD in, and I'd just praise and worship. And I'd sing at the top of my lungs. Nobody complained. It was great. It was an awesome time of worship. Find the time that works for you. You know, then we lived in Michigan. We lived next door. You know, if I sang on my way to church, probably people would look at me funny, walking across the yard singing. But, you know, find what works for you. Find that time that you can worship God and give him praise. Number seven, serve and witness. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Again, this just goes back to live it out. Don't worship God just with your lips, with your attendance on Sunday morning. Worship God with the way you live your life, at work, in situations, your relationships, and the different situations that life you find yourself in. Worship God through the way you live. Be a witness to him. When somebody asks, offer the hope that you have, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to do. You know, when I think of that, I think of Jerry. You know, Jerry would come and tell me, I was at the gas station, and this guy came up, and next thing you know, I'm, you know, giving him a Bible and presenting Jesus, you know. I love that. You know, we need to live that out. We need to worship him and then witness whenever we have the opportunity and ask God to give you those opportunities and give you the right words when you have those opportunities. Because when we participate in God's plan of salvation, reaching others, it has a tremendous impact on our worship. Number eight, yield to God's will each and every day. Just offer, when you roll out of bed or before you roll out of bed, just say, God, this is my plan for today, but may your will be done. Whatever you have for today, help me to walk in your grace. Just guide me. Help me submit, you know, to your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done in my life. And then number nine, this is real practical. Get a decent night's sleep on Saturday. You know, if you stay up to 4 o'clock in the morning, you're probably going to have a hard time staying awake, right? So get some sleep. I'm not talking just to you guys. I'm talking to all of us. You know, maybe for you, you got to go to bed at 9 o'clock on Saturday. I don't know. You know, or maybe you need to get up early to give time to your body to wake up and your mind to go. It's just real practical, but figure out what works for you so that when you come physically, emotionally, spiritually, you are ready to worship the Lord God we serve. If you had a big job for you tomorrow or a big game, you would do what you need to do to prepare, wouldn't you? You'd get ready. You'd get your clothes out. You may, you know, get make sure everything's in its place. You would certainly be thinking about it. How you're going to answer the questions or, you know, what you're going to do, going over the plays in your head, whatever. You know, you'd be prepared. We need to treat worship the same way. We need to be prepared for worship. God wants to meet with us every day, every week, individually and corporately. If we will take the time to prepare for worship, it will have a tremendous impact on our worship. And again, worship is about what we offer, not what we receive. But when we offer true worship to God, maybe we have a good father. Do you think maybe he's going to have something to give back? He does. Shouldn't be our motivation. It's like a mission trip, right? You go on a mission trip to serve. You don't go on a mission trip, hopefully, to see what you can get out of it, right? You go to serve and to help others. Now, if you've ever been on a mission trip and it's been your attitude, I want here to help and serve others, you better believe you got something in return. If you go like, am I going to get out of this and this is all about me, it may not live up to those expectations. When we offer God our best, inevitably we get God's best back for us. And that's what he wants for us. Now, you may not know this, but I have a twin brother named Jimmy. Jimmy recently was on the news. And I want to show a video clip of this from a recent event he was a part of. And I think this video just really helps illustrate what I'm talking about this morning. So go ahead and get the footage. All right, we don't need to say it again. All right. Well, thank you. Brooke did a great job. Jimmy did a great job. Zach on the camera. Thank you, guys. But it's ridiculous, isn't it? If you're not going to do any training, if you're not going to do any preparation, don't expect to do well. And it's even worse when then, you know, blame the T-shirt and the marshals and all that stuff. But we do that in worship. We don't come prepared for worship. And we blame the greeters, we blame the temperature in the room, we blame the pastor, we blame the worship team, the selection of songs. When really, we got to be looking at ourselves. What have we done to prepare ourselves for worship? When we take the time during the week to prepare for worship, God will meet us in a more powerful way. And again, this is not meant to make anyone feel guilty. We're all busy, we're all guilty of this at times, I'm sure. But let's change that. With God's help, let's ask him to help us to prepare for worship. This next week, let's do some of these things to help prepare us so that when we gather together next Sunday, that we are ready to worship him with everything that we have. The will to prepare to worship is even more important than the will to worship, and they're both important. But we need to do that. We need to seek him and ask God to help us. So I want to challenge you to make preparation for worship a greater priority in your life. I need to do that. Maybe you need to do that. I know many people do this, and that's great. But let's take time to prepare to worship all week long so that when we come together individually, the worship is more meaningful, and corporately for our brothers and sisters in Christ. God will meet with us in a powerful way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day you've given to us. You've prepared this day. You've set this day aside so that we could worship you. That is your desire for each of us, that we would worship you. For Lord, you and you alone are worthy of our praise. And Lord God, I know that these people, we love you. Lord, we're here on a Sunday morning. We love you and we want, but Lord, I pray that you would help us not to just settle for what's okay and what's good. I pray that you would give us a desire to experience you more and more, more fully, more deeply. Help us in our daily lives to live that out. Help us when we gather together on Sunday mornings to have just a powerful time of worship together. Lord God, and again, it's about what we offer you. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased. I pray that you would be more pleased with the way we worship and what we have to offer in the days ahead. Help us to take this challenge seriously, each and every one of us, Father, and to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our spirit to worship you. For Father God, you deserve no less than our best. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to do that. Be with us this week, Father God, as we go about our lives. Would you watch over us, protect us? Would you just keep reminding us? Would you show yourself over and over again? And may we take the time to worship you individually, every day, and corporately as we gather together again next week. We love you, Father. We give you the praise that you are due. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.